Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. It is September the 11th. It is 23 years to the day since those terrorist attacks against our homeland. You know, that's a phrase we didn't even hear before that. Think about it. Did you ever refer to the United States of America as our homeland? I never did. It was one of those things that happened after the 9/11 attacks, when President Bush stands up this brand new agency, the Department of Homeland Security. Huh? What? And we're moving some agencies from over there to over there, and there's got to be better coordination, and this agency wasn't talking to that agency, and that agency wasn't talking to this agency. You go, oh my gosh. And what about those who got up that morning and they went to work? They went to work. No idea what's going to happen, of course. You think about some of the people who, well, their alarm didn't go off, or they spilled their coffee, or they couldn't get their tie tied right, or they missed their train. They were the lucky ones. And then you think about the men and women who were the first responders. You know, I'm an ex-cop, so I joke all the time about firefighters. How they somehow figured out, you know, they get a full salary while they're sleeping and they're eating. But let me tell you something. Those guys are the craziest human beings, and I mean that in the nicest, best possible way. 343 members of the New York Fire Department ran into those buildings. You had firefighters who were not Catholic, who were getting last rites at the bottom of the building. Why? Because they knew they were not getting out, and they still went in there. Father Michael Judge, the first casualty. I mean, I just sit here and I think, oh my gosh, how does anybody do what those men and women did? Port Authority Police Department, very near and dear to my heart, 37 deaths. The largest single-day line-of-duty death for a law enforcement agency. Federal agents. Folks like our friend Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, and I'm happy that Jimmy is joining us this afternoon. Jimmy, thank you for being here, sir.
Jeff, thanks for having me. I've done a few of these today, and I tell you, it just doesn't get any easier pulling up the memories for all of us. But Jeff, I think that we have a charge to do so, to forget about it, to push it aside because it makes us uncomfortable. I think we'd be doing a disservice to all the men and women who lost their lives that day, especially the ones that you pointed out that ran to the sound of the guns and ran into the burning buildings.
Jimmy, I think you're spot on. I think every once in a while, people are charged to do something, right? People have a calling, and I think you and I have an obligation to the fallen, in this case, to keep telling their stories. I would love for you to share with my listeners this afternoon where you were, what you were doing September the 11th, 2001.
Sure. So, Jeff, you know, to put it into context, the USS Cole, a U.S. naval destroyer, which was docked in the Gulf of Aden in a place called Yemen, you know, around the world, long way away from here, had been attacked by Al-Qaeda terrorists just a few months, a little less than a year, I guess, before that. And this was Al-Qaeda's, you know, second attack on us. And I had been dispatched there, Jeff, with the other members of the FBI's hostage rescue team to protect the ship and to work on, you know, beginning the investigation and supporting and protecting the agents there. And then you come to, you know, little less than a year later. And, you know, some of the same people that got impacted in this. I was on a drug squad at the time. And as you pointed out, the people that changed a flight at the last moment for no big reason, or the people that got stuck in traffic and missed a flight and weren't on one of the four doomed airliners. I just had an ACL surgery on my knee, and I had a a doctor's appointment that morning, and instead of coming in early to Lower Manhattan to literally six blocks away from the World Trade Center where the federal building was, I was headed to Queens, and the first plane hit. I rerouted, tried to come back at the second plane hits. Stuck in traffic, fighting my way in. They're not letting anybody into Manhattan. They're not letting anybody, you know, access the tunnels or the bridges except for law enforcement and first responders. I make it down to the Brooklyn Bridge, which again is in the shadow of the World Trade Center. And as I'm getting out of my car and heading down to the World Trade Center, the first tower comes down. And obviously for all of us, that visceral, palpable feeling of the shock of seeing these two, just these engineering marvels. I mean, they'd been designed in the 60s, and I think they were actually came online in the early 70s, and they were literally the wonders of the world. And to watch nearly 3,000 people perish in less than an hour in those, you know, four different locations, you know, the two trade towers, yep, obviously the Pentagon in D.C. near where you guys are in Central Virginia, and then in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Jeff, just utterly surreal day, and it's uncomfortable, and it brings up emotions. But if we don't do this, we're not doing the right thing when we say hashtag never forget.
Absolutely. Jimmy Galeano joining us, retired supervisory special agent out of the FBI. Jimmy, I saw a photo that you had posted. You've got your leg all braced up. That must be the ACL surgery. But you're right there. I mean, you're at ground zero.
So that was at Trinity Church, which was a place that George Washington had actually worshipped at during the 18th century when we were a fledgling nation. And it literally was in the shadow of the trade towers. And obviously when the buildings came down and all those poor souls, you know, perished and lost their life, and it changed the world. It certainly changed the United States. But, one of the uncomfortable tasks that we had for the FBI, you know, you mentioned the firefighters and how many of them died, 343 of them, and the department and the people down there searching. There were firefighters and public safety people coming from around the country to come and help and support. But you have different silos of work and responsibility. Their job was to try to find anyone who had survived. And there were some that had survived in a corner, I believe, of the North Tower, and there were some rescues. Certainly not as many as we would have liked to have seen, but there were some. For the FBI, our job was to figure out who had done it. Now, pretty quickly, we determined that this was, you know, a terrorist plot by Al-Qaeda, you know, 19 terrorists, and you know, they were funded by Osama bin Laden, and they'd been training and hiding out in Afghanistan, and this large network that was fully supported with terror money and fully supported with other countries being behind it, whether, you know, there was involvement with leaders in other nations in the Middle East. All this is going on. We didn't know any of that at the time. And our job was to sift through. Jeff, when I say this, several blocks away from the trade towers, from the footprint of the trade towers, 4 feet of debris, 4 feet of crushed, pulverized concrete, steel girders that had melted, because when jet fuel burns, it burns at an insanely hot, high temperatures, and to try to respectfully recover bodies and at the same time respectfully recover, you know, effects from people like wedding rings or a picture from someone's desk on the 79th floor, and at the same time search for airplane parts, anything that could possibly put the jigsaw puzzle together. So, Jeff, that was probably 2 or 3 months worth of work immediately after 9/11, is trying to do that. And I'm humbled that there were so many people that were a part of that. It was a huge team effort. And one last quick thing, Jeff, to see the folks, especially the people in Manhattan that felt so helpless, they couldn't do things, they'd see us speeding down the West Side Highway or down the FDR, the Harlem River Drive, yeah, every morning and every night. Everybody's on 12-hour or 15-hour shifts. And the amount of restaurants that set up tents down in the medians, you know, between the rows of traffic, handing out food, bottled water, the people that responded. Jeff, it impacted our nation. We'd never been attacked like that since December 7th of 1941 at Pearl Harbor. And it really changed and shaped the way that younger generations, our kids' age, who were, yeah, either just born or adolescence at the time, the way they view the world.
Jimmy Galliano is with us. Jimmy, a retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. He was there.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Jimmy, you know, we talk about the members of the FDNY, we talk about the Port Authority Police, the New York City Police. I think the EMS folks were still a separate agency, not yet merged, if I remember correctly. But we also had federal folks, people who were in your line of work, FBI and other federal agencies. You want to share, I don't know, a story or two about that?
Sure. So, Jeff, you pointed out the numbers, and it's so important that that you did that. We know that 3,000, you know, Americans lost their lives. We also know there were 343 members of the New York Fire Department. Yeah. There were 37 members of the Port Authority Police Department, 23 of the NYPD, and there were 10 federal agents that were, you know, working in or around the trade towers. And two of them were friends and colleagues of mine. One was Lenny Hatton, who was a former Marine who had come into the FBI, and his expertise was he was a special agent bomb technician. He was one of the guys that diffused bombs and did post-blast analysis. So if there was a blast, he'd be a guy to respond to it to try to put together the pieces and find the perpetrator behind it. Mm-hmm. And he had run into the building, into the South Tower, and had gone up to the top of the building attempting to establish communications with our federal office, which was a little bit further uptown, because obviously all the antennas are on that building at the World Trade Center. When the World Trade Center came down, both buildings, it knocked out communications, and Lenny was trying to set that up when he perished. The second was John O'Neill. John O'Neill was a special agent in charge. He was in charge of the counterterrorism division of the New York office of the FBI, the largest FBI office. And Jeff, when you talk about the irony and the quirk of the cruel look of fate, he had retired from the FBI's New York division on Friday and reported to work as the chief of security for the World Trade Center on Monday. 9/11 was the next day, Tuesday. And the last time he was seen, he was coming in and out of the South Tower with a flip phone glued to his ear, trying to assist people coming in, you know, to get them out of the building, mm-hmm. when he perished in the rubble.
Wow. You know, the other thing, Jimmy, we would really be remiss if we didn't point this out. There were so many first responders, including many folks from the Bureau who were there at Ground Zero. They were engaged at that point, not in rescue, but in recovery and evidence recovery and analysis and the rest of it. But so many of them, as you know, were exposed to awful chemicals and toxic fumes. A lot of those guys have died since then as a result of various types of cancer.
Yeah, and we have to consider them to be service martyrs as well, Jeff,
yes,
because, you know, at the time, I mean, you know, when this happened, I mean, it's one of those grim jokes that we'd make and go, boy, OSHA would never be approving the work conditions of us standing on this on this pile, you know, sifting through rubble or being transported out. I spent a month out at the Freshkills landfill. And yes, a landfill is a garbage dump, but they cleared out an area and the truckloads of debris were brought out there. So from Manhattan, from lower Manhattan, across the Verrazano Narrows Bridge into Staten Island, brought to this big dump site. And then FBI agents were there to sift through it again, looking for, you know, something as small as a wing nut or a screw, yep. or something from the plane that could possibly piece this together. How healthy was that? I mean, yeah. And basically using paper masks like we used during the COVID pandemic, which we realized early on, hey, these paper and cloth masks, they're not really it's not the margin of victory to keep you safe. So, yeah, there have been far, far more people that have perished post 9/11 than did on that day in the public safety realm, and we should obviously keep their memories alive as well.
Do you mind venturing a little insight, venturing an opinion, or offering some insight on the change in the Well, communications, right? Because there were certain federal agencies not talking to other federal agencies. There's this afterwards, there's this whole brand new thing called the Department of Homeland Security, and agencies are being moved from one department to another. And here we are, Jimmy, 23 years later, and that first wave of DHS people, they've got their 20 years in. They've retired. How much did things change from then till now?
Well, let's go back to, we could go back to as far as General Custer's ill-fated final mission, out in the Black Hills, when he divided his forces and then had difficulty communicating with them to gather them back together or to move them along. And we're talking, that was 1877.
Yeah.
Here we are, fast forward to 2001, and whether it's the military or whether it's law enforcement, whether it's consequence management like fire departments, things like that, interoperability is still the number one cause of systems failure when you are trying to do crisis response or consequence management. And it's difficult. We saw it out there in Butler, Pennsylvania, when the former president was shot and nearly assassinated on July 13th of this year. And yes, Jeff, there were lessons learned when you have a vertical crisis site like the Trade Towers were. And again, they were engineering marvels, those buildings, for the 1960s and 1970s. Now, not so much. And why is that? Just because of the way they were built, what you were never expecting that a jetliner full of, jet fuel was going to slam into them. But the mistakes that were made, and God bless the men and women from the fire department, set up a command post on the first floor of the North Tower and the South Tower, and we're so close to it that as they're trying to command and control things and having difficulty doing that, they couldn't talk to their guys hauling, hauling their gear, their bunker gear, all the way up those, 110 flights?
That's right.
And they were on the first floor. So, yes, communications, it has gotten better, Jeff. It's never going to be a panacea. It's always the first thing that goes during a crisis incident is being able to talk to each other. But it is something I know is being worked on and has gotten exponentially better since 2001.
Jimmy, I thank you for everything that you've done. I thank you for joining us. That is Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, talking about his efforts post 9/11 in New York at Ground Zero at the Fresh Kills, Phil. And I want to remind you that Jimmy sits on the board of directors of the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. They offer defense to law enforcement officers who are facing legal action that's unwarranted. It's an incredible organization, policedefense.org. Policedefense.org is where you ought to go and look for it. If you're not yet following Jimmy over on X, please do that. You will find some amazing information, and Jimmy is not just a bright guy, but he's a funny guy as well. James A. Galliano over on X. It is 3:51, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.